Good morning. We're in Revelation chapter 12 this morning. I missed one of the lessons, but I taught in Revelation, but I put the other two out on the internet at www.barrycofc.org. It's back there on the board. And all my sermons are out there for what they're worth. You know. Yeah. Sometimes I don't like them. If I don't like it, you notice it's not out there, you know why it's not out there. It's like I tell Aline. Aline says, well, I don't like this and this kind of food, so I'm not going to take it to the potluck. Aline, everybody don't think like you think. They might like it. You know, you don't determine what everybody else likes here. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12 through 19 is the easiest part of Revelation. Let that soak in. Seven seals. The seventh seal triggers seven trumpets. Trumpets are warnings. The seventh trumpet sounded in chapter 11. And so in chapter 12, we've got to go back and explain what in the world is coming down and why is it coming down. Well, there's this big battle going on. Revelation chapter 12, this big red dragon is trying to keep this woman from giving birth. Verse 4, 12:4. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. There's no chance for the baby. I mean, this great red dragon so powerfully sweeps away a third of the stars. We're just using exaggeration language. There's no chance this baby survives. Verse 5, and she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Her son will rule all the nations, and with a rod of iron. Psalm 2 says the same thing, nothing new. And her child was caught up to God and to His throne. And so, there's this battle, this dragon trying to stop the birth of Jesus and the ascension of Jesus. And he fails, is what that's about. Verse 9 and verse 7, there's a battle between Michael and his angels and the dragon and his angels. Verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the servant of old, who's called the devil and Satan. So now we know who the dragon is, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Well, what does all this mean? Verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ have come. You know, He ruled from Pentecost. But now, and descended into heaven, His rule, His power is triggered. What does that mean? What is this battle in heaven between Michael and his angels and the devil and his angels? Here's what it means. The end of verse 10. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accused them before our God day and night. When Jesus ascended to heaven, what could the devil no longer do? Accuse the brethren. He died for their sins. They put faith in Him. What's the devil's goal? To keep people from being right with God. He's mean. He's angry. He's cynical. He wishes the worst for everybody. And his chief target was to accuse people before God. And if they're guilty, what? Oh, that's easy. But now that Jesus sits at the right hand of God, what? You can't walk in and accuse the brethren without Jesus saying, whoa, wait a minute. I died for them. They confessed that sin. Case closed. Well, he can't do it, so he loses the game. The devil tried to stop Jesus from ascending. He can't accuse the brethren anymore. His picture is thrown down to the earth where his main activity is on earth. You know. And so he goes after the woman. And end of verse 12, chapter 12, verse 17. He can't get the woman who gave birth to Jesus, faithful Israel. Verse 17. So the dragon was enraged with the woman who gave birth and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. He's going after the church. That's the target here. It's God and Satan in this gigantic struggle that's coming to a head in the first century, spoken of in Daniel chapter 7, spelled out in detail. When we get there, I will go to Daniel 7, verse by verse. And when you'll all, whoa, 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 wow, that's the same thing. Okay. Chapter 13. Well, he only has a short time. Okay, so he's got to use plan A. At the end of verse 12, he only has a short time. He's going to use two guys. The main guy, and he calls him a beast. I mean, a beast is a terrifying word. Like, they tear. And well, I saw driving home over here the other day. Big old deer laying beside the road, and its cavity was eaten out. Something a little bigger got a hold of that, you know. But a beast is tearing and mauling. That's the idea of the word beast. There's two beasts in 13. The first one is who we call 666, verse 1. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on the horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. I mean, speaking evil of God. I mean, he's got, 7 heads, 10 horns. I always get that reversed in my mind. That has meaning later. That will be all spelled out in chapter 17. But he's got all these heads and all these horns. And verse 2, the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet was like that of those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and his throne and great authority. He's pictured as a composite of this powerful beast, but what is he at the end of verse 13 too? Just a man who possesses what? Authority. He has a throne. He's a ruler. Okay? So we now know 666 is. Verse 3. I saw one of his heads as if he'd been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. Big clue keeps popping up. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. 5:4. And they worshiped the beast because he gave his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war with him? He rules. And they can't beat him, so what do? They surrender, they give in to him when he wants them to worship him. Well, the world don't have no allegiance anyway, so it don't matter. And so because of a little weakness and fear, they just fall in line. Verse 5. There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and the authority to act for 42 months was given to him. 3.5 years. It'll be said 1260 days. Just it's not a short period of time, but it's not forever. He's limited is the point to how long he's going to be able to operate. God has everything under control is the point. He only has a certain amount of time because somebody bigger is controlling it. Verse 6. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Verse 7. It was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. He's given the authority to overcome the people of God. Who gave him that authority? God. He's making war with the saints, the people of God, on earth, and he's given the authority to do it for this period of time, 42 months. Tell me why, at the end of verse 7, Richard Nixon, Henry Kissinger, the Pope, cannot be 666. Tell me why. Not a worldwide ruler. This guy rules over what? Nations and peoples and tongues. Whoever 666 is, he's a worldwide ruler. So it eliminates everybody else. I remember over at Pittsville one day, one of Aaron Trans comes up, big old boy, play baseball with him. Oh, I'm scared of 666. It's on my driver's license. Son. Showed him two verses. Oh, wow, thanks. You know, didn't know nothing, but it didn't take but one verse to show that's impossible. So, the point I'm making here, this beast, he has 7 heads and 10 horns. One head's been slain, but it's back. He's alive. That's a little mystery. But he's a worldwide ruler. So anybody that's not a worldwide ruler, they don't know what they're talking about. Verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who's been slain. Now who's not going to bow to this fellow? People whose name's in the book of life, they're not going to do it. When was the book of life written? Verse 8. When was the book of life written?
from the foundation of the world. God knows that where everything's going. That's what prophecy's about. That's why Ezekiel's telling them things. That's why Daniel said things. We know where he's going. He can't just tell them ahead of time. And so God writes people's names down in the book of life. Oh, he can erase it too. But you know, he knows where he's going at this moment. Verse 9, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. I mean, this is being read in the seven churches of Asia. Is anybody listening to this thing? They probably need to be. Verse 10, if anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword, with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. You get these interjections all the time. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get the bad guys. If they're killing with a sword, they're going to be killed with a sword. And you know, I got it under control. You just need to stay on my side. That's your destiny. You just stay with me in this deal. Because if we're talking about a worldwide ruler who wants to force you to worship him, what are you going to do? Well, I know you go to church across the barrier. You got to take a mark so everybody can see it, either on your forehead or you got to wear longer sleeves when you go to church. It's a real struggle for Christians, true Christians here. Okay, that's the first beast. We just kind of, more information is going to flow in this chapter. Second beast, verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He looks innocent. Oh, he's got the same dirty, nasty attitude that the devil has, Satan has, the dragon has. I mean, his goals are the same goals here. We couldn't stop Jesus from ascending to the throne. We can't accuse the brethren no more. So we're going to try to get them church members lost. So this guy here, he looks innocent. But he listens closely. Verse 2. Well, right. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. What's his job? Verse 12. Make everybody worship the beast. That's his job. 13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. All miracles don't come from God. Thessalonians 2. They're there for people who are destined to be lost, to help them go down that road. So this guy does miracles. God allows him to do it. 14. And he deceives those who dwell in the earth because of the signs. All the miracles, they stop thinking after that, you know. Which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and come to life. Third time in this chapter. I think we're trying to get in. But the beast don't create an image, so you got something physically you've got to bow down to. 15. It was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak, and because as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So you don't want to worship the image, do you? If that's your position, well, we'll just kill you. This is going to be as serious as you can get as it unfolds for these Christians. I think about that cause the image to speak. I don't know if y'all have ever seen the old black and white Tarzan movies. And they go in this cave and you got these ritual worshipers and well, this guy's going to cause the image to speak. I mean, if you're not already hooked, what? We'll hook you this way. We'll give you a miracle. We'll give you that. The image will speak to you. And if you don't want to worship, we can get dirty. We'll kill you. What do you think of that? Verse 16. And he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free and men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or their forehead. 17. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Oh, oh, oh. So you got an auto repair business now. So you work at the hospital. No longer, unless you've got a mark. You can't buy or sell. I don't care how hungry you are. Well, if we kill you, we don't care how hungry you get either. You're going to be forced to worship this beast, this worldwide ruler. And you got to take it, number of his name or the mark. 18. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Some people say that Richard Nixon was 666. What can these people in the first century do? Verse 18. I taught Revelation at two Wednesday nights in Belize, Central America. Definitely third world people. They got it. The minute meeting. Especially Revelation 20 about 1,000 year reign. They got it in a moment. There was absolute laughter throughout the whole place when they got it. What can these people do in the first century? Verse 18. And Bonnie, it's Richard Nixon. They are so smart folks. You know what I'm doing. It's somebody they know. They can figure it out. I didn't even think about it. Bring the paper up here. Every alphabet has a numbered system. A equals 1, B equals 2. I'm always using Bob, and I'm always forgetting what O equals. But B would be 2. There's 2 B's, there's 4. I'm going to say 16, because I don't know. So 2 plus 16 plus 2, the number whose name is 20. That's how they figured it out. They have found, in archaeology, they have found 237 loves, 334. They're using the calculating the letters in their number equivalent to come up with their name. Well, this guy rules the whole world. It can't be but a handful of people. The people who are going to follow in line, Nero just died. It has to be somebody. They can figure it out. But the point is, they can calculate the number of this. They can figure it out. So just nobody. If somebody says, this guy today is 666, they can figure it out back here. Okay. So that's the beast. They want you to worship the beast. He's a worldwide ruler. And if you don't, we'll kill you, or you can't buy or sell. That's going to get nasty. And what if you're the 1% or the less than 1% who doesn't have a mark, and everybody's walking through the mall or the bazaars, and guess what? You're just going to stand out. You don't have the mark. And what's everybody else going to do? You can't even go to town. This is going to be a real life problem for these people, starting in a little over 12 years. Well, we probably need to take a break here. Verse chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Whoa! These people are being marked, but there's people of God who are marked. You can tell the difference. Remember in chapter 7, these are all the total amount of Jews. And so, guess what? We've got our people marked too. He ain't ahead of us. We're already marked ours. Verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters and the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. So these are saved Jewish Christians. And they're singing praises to God. Verse 4. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they've kept themselves chaste. And he's just using fornication there. But what? They're holy. That's why they're there. Secondly, and 4. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These are the only people going to make it through this thing. Thirdly, these have been purchased from among men as first fruits of God and to the Lamb. They're the Jewish people. They're the first harvest, the first fruits. And they've been purchased to be first fruits to God and to the Lamb. So all of a sudden you see this horrid picture in 13 of making sure everybody's marked on the bad side.
And all of a sudden you get a glimpse of what? All the first fruits have been marked, and we know who they are. Verse 5, and no lie was found in their mouth, and they are blameless. So these are the holy people. Verse 6, and I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. So the next vision is what? This angel flying in mid-heaven. And he's preaching a gospel to everybody. Well, gospel means good news. It means there's a way out. So there's a way out here. Verse 7. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give Him glory. Well, if everything's coming to head here in the first century, that's probably the best advice you can get. Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. Not talking second coming at all. 586, when talking second coming? Because the hour of His judgment has come, worship Him who made heaven and earth and sea and springs of water. Your only way out is to worship God. He's the one bringing the judgment. And so, you know, make your move. Now, all what we're doing is we're throwing out a kind of general summary of where we're going here. Verse 8. And another angel, the second one, followed, saying, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. The city is gone. And this is the whole, this is the target. This is the target. Babylon, as we're talking about in Ezekiel, ruled the world, took over from the Assyrians, and then Greece, Medes and Persians, and the Greek, and now the Romans, most powerful of all. He's saying, they're fallen. Babylon's fallen. We're talking about Rome here. I mean, it's gone. It's over. We're just making the announcement now. So you, which side do you want? I mean, she's made all the nations drink of the wine of her immorality. I mean, she's been the cause of all this looseness out here. Oh, America, China, and them, you know, they're cutting off the internet and cutting off a lot of stuff. A lot of people don't want our trash coming over there. You know, probably a good idea. The looseness and all. Well, that's what this city's propagated. And she's going to get it. It's time to give it to her. Verse 9. Then another angel, the third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, verse 10, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of His anger, and he'll be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. Which side do you want here? You don't want to take the mark of the beast. Because you're going to get God's wrath mixed in full strength. There's degrees of punishment. I mean, hell can be worse. You know, James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should be teachers, or you incur stricter judgment, greater condemnation. You say, don't too many of you jump in there and be teachers, because with your tongue, you make a lot of mistakes. Oh, in this message, he's trying to give a broad picture. You got this bad side coming in 12 years, the start of it. You need to keep focus on me and what I'm fixing to do. Because if you just switch sides, that's worse than them. And you're going to get it mixed in full strength. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in His image, and whoever receives the mark of His name. I don't think he'd be any clearer. I mean, hell is not a place of peace and happiness and rest. There is no rest. There's constant chaos, turmoil, and worse. But if you take the mark of His name, this is what you're going to get, because that's what they're going to get. Verse 12, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. I know the bad people and I know the good people. You do the good and you stay with me, everything's fine. Here's why you've got reason to persevere. Here's why you don't surrender to them, because there's something worse waiting. They can kill your body, but they can't kill your body and soul, which I can do. You know, so you hang on. I'm going to settle this. 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. yes, as the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Ooh. I mean, what if you die in this turmoil? You're blessed. I mean, God knows that what side you were on. That's what Ezekiel's making clear. He knows the difference. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Dying faithfully in Christ is a good thing. Paul talked about Philippians 1, to die is gain. Yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, it's much, very much better to go be a Lord than to live here on earth and suffer as you get older and go through a lot of difficulties in life. This coming battle between God and the nation that rules the world is coming. And they're going to use a worldwide ruler to do it. Bill Clinton tried to push the worldwide government. Failed miserably. Obama's definitely openly trying to push it. If you get a worldwide government, you're in the middle of Revelation replay. Oh, we'll prove that in chapter 20. Oh, it's way off. And they can do it in a week or 10 years. Oh, but they don't give up on it, though. Oh, if you get an economic collapse, oh, we got to join together to save the planet. Oh, and then you got some guy. You know, there's plenty of candidates out there who would love to rule. It would be horrible. And would eliminate Christianity, especially if they're Muslim. And, oh, you kill Christians anyway in the Muslim world. Oh, it's a possibility, folks. But it's way off. But we're going to explain it in chapter 20. We're just trying to figure out where it's going right now. We got this worldwide ruler who's going to be want to be worshipped. He's got a guy who's going to create an image of him and force people to bow. And they're going to take a mark on their hand, or they're going to take it on their forehead. We want to know who they are and who's not. And if they don't want it, we'll kill them. Or we won't let them by ourselves. You know, we got all these rights in America, and, you know, say that loosely. Everything can change in a moment by decree of a ruler. These people are going into this. They've been bad guys before. But the guy coming is worse. And he's going to be one to be worshipped. It's serious for Christians. So God has wrote a book called Revelation. Oh, they read this thing, seven churches. The main churches will face the brunt of it. Boy, has anybody got an ear? Let him hear. It's history now. They wrote, and they write books about what happened to the Roman Empire. Well, Revelation 18 probably. 19, help explain that. It's easy to do. It is easy to do. You and I, we're not in any great peril or turmoil. There are some struggles going on against Christianity in this country. They got the upper hand. You know, they'd make life a lot miserable. As Bill's always praying, Luke 18, for justice. Oh, the fellow, the governor, the judge there, he don't fear God, don't respect man. He don't care about right and wrong. Well, Jesus said, that woman kept persisting. She needed help. She needed justice from people who should be giving it to her, and she wasn't getting it. He said, you know, this is why you need to pray always, because justice is coming. It's coming. You keep praying for it. It's coming. But will he find faith on the earth? Is the question Jesus asked when it does happen. So you and I are preparing. We're striving each day just to do the right thing. To keep God first. Stick with the truth. And all this other stuff, hey, you know what to do. No matter what happens, what comes, when it comes, you know what you're going to do. Would you bow with me, please?